We're still in the book of Jonah, the power of one. How one person, empowered by the Almighty God, can have one significant impact on whether it's just one life or on one community. And whether you're choosing to pursue each one through a ministry like Prison Ministries Fellowship, or you're pursuing it here within Elgin Evangelical Free Church or some other associated ministry, I hope that you are getting excited as you are learning to live the practices of prayer, care, share, and invite, and as you are sharing the stories of what God is doing in your life, as you are praying for people who are far from God, as you're looking for opportunities to share God's love with them, as you're alert to opportunities to share your testimony with them or to invite them to some ministry event. I hope you're excited as you're sharing stories with each other about the Holy Spirit's work, because there's dozens of stories floating through the congregation at any one time of how God is answering prayer. God used Jonah in an amazing way, but it didn't start out that way. It started out with Jonah failing. And we have seen the last few weeks, Jonah failed big time. He disobeyed God. He ran away from God. And we can say, poor Jonah, that was really a dumb thing to do. But the truth is, we all fail, don't we? I mean, we all fail. Anybody here who's never failed at anything? Yeah, I didn't think so. Well, Jonah failed, and he failed big time. And he failed so publicly that we're talking about his failure 2,700 years later. Talk about a public embarrassment. So, do you know what that feels like? Have you ever failed either so spectacularly or so publicly? You did something so wrong or so stupid that when you think about it, you literally ache inside. I mean, you let down your team. You let down your friends. You let down your spouse, your kids. You let down your business co-workers. You let down your church. You let down yourself. You let down the Lord. And every time you think of that, you wish you could go back in time to just 1 second before that thing, and you could erase it, and you could just do it all over again. You said, if only I had another chance. I mean, I've had my share of those experiences. An automobile accident that broke my wife's back and her nose, and it was my fault. Parenting mistakes that were so bad, when I think of them today, 30 years later, I still cringe. And ministry mistakes that accumulate over the years, all the times that you reached out and were trying to do something that you thought would help somebody else, and instead you hurt the people that you were trying to help. Times when saying, I'm sorry, just isn't enough. You want to do over. You want to make over. You want to mulligan. You want a second chance. Well, that's where we find Jonah this morning. And that's where we get the title of the message, When I Need a Second Chance. You can follow along. Our scripture is from Jonah chapter 2, verse 10, and then there's a few selected verses from Jonah chapter 3. Then the Lord ordered the fish to spit up Jonah on the beach, and it did. Then the Lord spoke to Jonah a second time. Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh and deliver the message of judgment I have given you. This time, Jonah obeyed the Lord's command and went to Nineveh, a city so large it took 3 days to see it all. On the day Jonah entered the city, he shouted to the crowds, 40 days from now, Nineveh will be destroyed. The people of Nineveh believed God's message. When God saw that they had put a stop to their evil ways, he had mercy on them and didn't carry out the destruction he had threatened. Jonah failed. But that's not the end of the story, because Jonah got better. You know, I fail. I try to get better. I try hard to be better. I try to be a better father, a better husband, a better pastor, and a better person. And do I get better? Yeah, I get a little better. But do I get it all right? No, I never get it all right. I still stumble. I just stumble over different things. I still make mistakes, and I have come to realize that I will never stop making mistakes. I will always have some amount of mistakes and sin and failure in my life. And sometimes the mistakes will be small enough that I can kind of shrug them off, but other times the mistakes are so big and so painful, they break my heart. Maybe that's why I like the story of Jonah. See, Jonah never got it right. Just like you and I, this side of heaven, we'll never get it right. Jonah didn't get it right at the beginning of this book of Jonah. Jonah doesn't get it right in the last verses in the book of Jonah. Jonah never got it right. Just like this side of heaven, you and I, we'll never get it right. And yet, God used him anyway. See, the question is not, will you and I fail? The question is, how will we live as followers of Jesus Christ? How will we live? And what will we do when we fail? Our title this morning comes from chapter 3, verse 1. Then the Lord spoke to Jonah a second time. Don't you love that? When Jonah failed God, God didn't give up on Jonah. He didn't stop talking to Jonah. He came to Jonah a second time. He talked to Jonah a second time. He gave Jonah a second chance because that's who he is. That's God's business. He's the Lord of the second chance. When Abraham didn't trust God and messed up big time and got his servant girl pregnant, God gave him a second chance. And Moses became known as the father of our faith. I said Abraham, sorry, I think I said Moses, but that's Abraham. When Moses failed to control his temper and time again, his temper and his anger got him in trouble, God gave him a second chance, and Moses is known as a friend of God. When King David of Israel committed adultery with Bathsheba and arranged for her husband to be killed in battle, you don't get much worse than that, do you? God gave him a second chance, and David is called a man after God's own heart. When a man named Saul persecuted the Christians in the early church, God gave him a second chance on the road to Damascus, and he became the Apostle Paul. When a loudmouthed braggart named Simon failed God miserably and repeatedly on the night of Jesus' arrest, Jesus gave him a second chance, and he became Peter the Rock. Because the Bible from beginning to end is the story that reminds us that every one of us are weak and flawed and failing imperfect people that need a second chance, and that we have a God who is always there to give us the second chance. So, what do we learn from Jonah and his epic failure? How do you and I live when we need a second chance? Well, point one on your sheets. The first step is to turn to the Lord of the second chance. Turn to the Lord of the second chance. As Jonah said, when I had lost all hope, I turned my thoughts once more to the Lord. For my salvation comes from the Lord alone. When Jonah had lost all hope and he needed a second chance, he turned to the Lord. He said, my salvation will not come from my smarts or my strategies or my strength. My salvation will come from the Lord alone. The Lord of the second chance. It sounds simple, doesn't it? When we fail, turn to the Lord of the second chance. So why don't we do it more often? Well, if you're anything like me, when I have failed and when I fall into the same sin again and again and again, I am so embarrassed and ashamed, I don't even want to look at God. I don't want to talk to God about it. I'm too embarrassed. Kind of want to avoid him, hide a little bit. And those of you that have had pet dogs know what I'm talking about. Because you may have had a time when you always knew when your dog did something wrong. Because they wouldn't look you in the eye, right? And you'd walk into the room, and their tail is wagging because they're happy to see you, but they won't look at you. When you call your name and they look at the floor, they look any place, they won't look at you in the eye, and they say, "Now what did you do wrong?" Right? But that's like me and God. Because when I failed, I don't want to look him in the eye. I want to hide in my embarrassment and my shame. And if you're anything like me, when you've failed the Lord for like the bazillionth time, you say, you're thinking, "I don't deserve to be forgiven again. I don't deserve it. I'm just going to avoid God until I can clean up my own mess. I'll kind of straighten things out. I'll kind of fix things. And then when I'm not so ashamed, then I'll come back to God." You ever do that? I think we all do it sometimes, don't we? We're not giving up on God. We're just kind of avoiding him a while because we're too ashamed. The only problem is it doesn't work. It doesn't work because you can't hide your faults, your failings, and your sins from God. He knew you were going to commit them before you committed them. He was not surprised when you failed. He never expected you to be perfect. And the good news is that when you failed and when you sinned, when you disobeyed God, God did not love you any the less. Because God loves you just as much on your bad days as he does on your good days. And he's the daddy that just wants you to come running to him and say, "Daddy, I'm so sorry." Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13. "People who conceal their sins will not prosper. But if they confess and turn from them, they will receive mercy." God says you'll never succeed in life if you try and hide your faults, your failures, your sins, and your mistakes. He says, "Take it all, your faults, your failures, your sins, your mistakes, and bring it to me. And say, 'Daddy, I messed up again. It was my fault. I was wrong. I disobeyed you. I'm sorry. Would you please forgive me?'" And then feel his overflowing healing, grace and love and forgiveness to wash you clean. No hiding, no blaming. Just the second chance that we long for. Now, some of you are thinking, "But Dick, you don't know how often I need forgiveness." I don't need a second chance. I need a second millionth, billionth, trillionth, zillionth chance. Because I just keep messing up in the same way again and again. And I'm so ashamed and embarrassed. And know that I don't deserve the forgiveness. I just want to avoid God. But when you finally come back to God the Father and say, "Daddy, here I am again. I messed up again. Please forgive me again." God says, "What do you mean again? I don't remember any other failures. Anything you brought to me before, I forgave and forgot so completely. This is your second chance. And the next time you come and say, 'Lord, I messed up again,' he says, 'Okay, this is your second chance.' And the time after that, he says, 'Well, no, this is your second chance. Every time is your second chance.'" And he never runs out of second chances. That's the beauty of God's math. He forgives and forgets so completely. Every time is your second chance. So stop hiding. Stop blaming. So what it is in your life today? You've messed up so badly or so repeatedly, you just can't let go of it. You don't feel forgiven. You can't forgive yourself. Would you take that today and take it to your daddy and hear him say, "What do you mean again? Of course you're forgiven. This is your second chance." Turn, return to the Lord who never gives up on you and never runs out of second chances. The second thing we learn from Jonah is when we need a second chance is to get up. Don't beat up or give up. Get up, don't beat yourself up, and don't give up. The Lord spoke to Jonah a second time and said, "Get up and go." In other words, get up and get back on mission. Get up and go to Nineveh. Now, just listen to what God didn't say to Jonah. God didn't say to Jonah, "How could you be so stupid to disobey me and run in the other direction? How could you be so selfish that you don't care about people in Nineveh that are headed toward destruction without the message of my salvation? How could I ever trust you again, Jonah, after that? I'll tell you what I want you to do, young man. I want you to sit down and think long and hard about what you did wrong. I want you to replay those tapes over and over and over again. And maybe if you beat yourself up enough, maybe if you feel ashamed enough, then maybe I'll forgive you." God didn't say that to Jonah. Your parents may have beat you up. You may beat yourself up. But God didn't do that to Jonah, and he doesn't do it to you, and he doesn't do it to me. When we come to him in sincere repentance, he says, "Okay, you're forgiven now. Come on, get up and get back on mission." Now, there's a second thing that God didn't say to Jonah. He didn't say to Jonah, "I'm fed up with you. I've had it with you. I just can't trust you. You've disobeyed me too often or too publicly. You know what? I'm done with you. I'm pulling you out of the game. Turn in your prophet's badge and head to the showers. You're washed up." But God didn't say that to Jonah, did he? He said, "Get up and get back on mission. Get back in the game. Pick up where you messed up and start doing what I asked you to do that you failed to do." You got to love a God like that, don't you? No punishment, no probation, no penance. Get up and get back on mission. Get back in the game. You know, growing up on a Vermont dairy farm, I'd get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and go down to the barn to milk the cows. And so I would spend a couple of hours before school with a 20 to 30 pound pail of milk in both hands, carrying it through the barn to the milk house and dumping it into the bulk milk tub. So you end up carrying a lot of milk. And we had a saying on the farm: doesn't matter how much milk you spill, as long as you don't kill the cow. And it's true. And it's true spiritually. It doesn't matter how much milk we spill, how many times we mess up, because you can't kill God, who always is ready with the milk of kindness and love and forgiveness in our life. You know, sometimes we exaggerate the results of our sin, and we think it's the end of the world. We think I'm no good. We think I'm permanently damaged. But look, failure is not final. Failure is not fatal. Failure is not an undertaker. Failure is a teacher. Get back up. You don't need to beat yourself up. You need to be sincerely have remorse for your sin and say, "Daddy, I am honestly sorry," but you don't need to beat yourself up. And God doesn't want you to give up. He wants you to learn through it. Proverbs 24, verse 16. Though a righteous man falls 7 times, he rises again. I love that verse. It gives me hope. Because in this world, even the good people, the righteous people, the godly people will fall. But no matter how many times we fall, if God's people get back up again because they hear the Lord whisper, I'm not done with you yet. I have things for you to accomplish in my name and for my kingdom. I need you to help me touch and transform your communities by the power of Jesus Christ through a life of devotion. I am calling you in this year to reach one and help teach one. So no matter how many times you've fallen, stop beating yourself up. Get back up. God wants you back in the game of helping us reach lost people with his story of salvation. The third thing to learn from Jonah is to learn to make obedience automatic. Learn to make obedience automatic. Verse 3, chapter 3. This time Jonah obeyed the Lord's command and went to Nineveh. This time Jonah obeyed the Lord. Last time he failed because he didn't obey the Lord. And Jonah had to learn the hard way, the high cost of disobeying the Lord. He had to learn the hard way to obey the Lord automatically. You see, one of the tools that God uses to change us from who we are to who he wants us to be is failure. Stop and think about it. If we are going to succeed at our mission to touch and transform our communities by the power of Jesus Christ through lives of full devotion, we need to do the right things. How do we know what the right things are? By trial and failure. Try something to reach our communities, to reach your neighbor, to reach your coworker. Doesn't work, you fail, you try something else. You try that, it doesn't work, you try something, you keep trying and failing until you succeed, because failure teaches us what doesn't work. Failure teaches us that we have to actually talk to God and listen to what God tells us. And that means a life of prayer. Failure teaches us just how much we depend on the Lord to guide us, to empower us, to give us wisdom, to give us the opportunities. Failure breaks our arrogance that thinks we know how to live our life. Failure breaks our self-sufficiency that makes us think we can do this on our own without God. Failure teaches us just how much we depend on God for everything. Failure teaches us to obey God automatically. Because I can guarantee, and everybody in this room, obeying what God wants us to do doesn't come automatically. It just doesn't. When God asks you to do something you don't want to do or you're afraid to do, we want to think it over. We want to evaluate the risks and the costs. We want to see if we agree with what God is telling us to do. We try and negotiate with God. Well, God, I'll do part of it. I won't do all of it. I'll do this part inside the church building, but I'm not going to do that part outside the church building. I'm going to do this stuff in ministry with people that I know and love in the church body and who are already Christians, but I'm not going to minister to people in Nineveh who could be scary and might have tattoos. I will do the outreach ministry inside my comfort zone, but I'm not going to go outside my comfort zone. And we try and negotiate with God and say, well, I'll do this part of what you want. I'll do the easy part, but I'm not going to do the hard part. I'll do the part I'm comfortable with. I'm not going to do the part that I'm uncomfortable with. But Jonah learned the hard way. That when it comes to God's rescue mission for us to reach out to people who need Jesus, the cost of trying to negotiate with God is higher than the cost of obeying him automatically. The cost of trying to negotiate with God is higher than the cost of trying to negotiate with Him. So let me ask you today, what have you been delaying? What have you been trying to negotiate with God about when it comes to pursuing this mission behind me, when it comes to pursuing our goal of each one, reach one, each one, teach one? Where is it you've been saying, well, I'll do this part, Lord, but I won't do that part? Will you confess that to God today and say, Lord, I am not obeying you automatically. And lack of immediate obedience is sin. Learn to obey God automatically. The fourth thing we learn from Jonah is to measure your fear against your God. Measure your fear against your God. Jonah ran from God because he was afraid to go on a very difficult mission to a very dangerous place. Jonah failed because he was afraid. He was afraid of failure. He was afraid of rejection. He was afraid of ridicule. He was afraid of suffering. He was afraid of all the same things we're afraid of in speaking to people about Jesus Christ. He was afraid of getting beat up or maybe being imprisoned and run out of town. He had good reason to be afraid. Jonah failed because he was afraid. But here's the point. To seize your second chance like Jonah did, we often have to do the very thing we're afraid of. To seize our second chance, we have to do the very thing we're afraid of. So God says to Jonah a second time, go to the great city of Nineveh and deliver the message of judgment. Jonah, your assignment hasn't changed. It's still a difficult and dangerous mission. Now, get up and do it. No negotiation. Face your fear. Overcoming our fear usually requires doing the very thing that you don't want to do. It means looking at the odds and then looking at your God. How do we overcome our fear? Stop measuring the odds against who you are and measure your odds against who God is and what He can do. Three steps to overcome your fear when it comes to reaching people for Jesus Christ. First, don't let the odds scare you. Don't let the odds scare you. Verse 3 tells us Nineveh was a very important city. A visit required 3 days. Nineveh was the second most important city in the world in Jonah's day. It was the biggest and baddest place he had ever been. Nineveh had a reputation for cruelty and brutality. Nineveh had a reputation for both political corruption, economic corruption, moral and spiritual corruption. And Nineveh had a reputation for sorcery and witchcraft. Nineveh killed prophets like Jonah. The odds are against him. Think of it. It's one flawed and failed prophet against maybe 600,000 wicked people that do not want to hear the message that he's going to speak. And it's going to take Jonah 3 days to walk through the city, stopping at strategic locations, to declare his message of God's judgment on them, to tell them a message that they don't want to hear. The odds were against Jonah, but God was for Jonah. So Jonah did not let the odds scare him. One question that motivational speakers often ask is, what would you do if you knew you couldn't fail? Have you ever heard that question? It's a very inspiring question. What would you do if you knew you couldn't fail? But it's kind of a trick question. Because anything worth accomplishing in life usually requires failure. I mean, haven't you realized that? Anything worth doing in life usually requires risk. It requires cost, and usually requires failure. And sometimes it requires failing multiple times till you actually achieve what your goal that you wanted to get to. Very seldom do we achieve anything good and great and important without some sort of failure along the way. So the better question is, what are you so passionate about that you're willing to pay the price of failure to get there and to do it? What are you so passionate about that you are willing to walk through failure and get to the other side to accomplish it? And if you are not passionately engaging in go fish, if you're not passionately engaging in each one, reach one, you need to ask yourself, why not? Is it I'm not passionate about loving and serving the Lord? Is it I'm not passionate about obeying the Lord's command? Is it I'm not passionate about loving who God loves? Is it I'm not passionate about giving people the help, hope, and healing they need in the name of Jesus Christ? And if you are not actively pursuing the lifestyle together with us of prayer, care, share, and invite, take some time today and ask yourself, what is it that I'm lacking the passion to step out in spite of my fear and in spite of the possibility of failure and pursue my mission? Measure your fear against God. First, don't let the odds scare you. Second, don't delay. Don't delay. I don't know about you, but when there's something I don't want to do, I postpone it. I put it off as long as I can. And Jonah must have wanted to probably do that and said, okay, I'm at Nineveh now, but I'm going to take a little rest time here, figure out the best way of staying this message so I don't get killed doing it, and, you know, delay before he started his assignment. But Jonah didn't do that. We read, on the day that Jonah entered the city, he shouted to the crowds. On the very first day, he started delivering the message. Jonah didn't delay. He didn't camp outside the city for a few days and say, I'm going to get the lay of the land, figure out the best strategy. He didn't wait a few days and say, I'm going to make some friends and kind of build a support team here. He didn't wait and say, I got to map my exit routes in case I get in trouble and I got to get out of Dodge quick. Jonah went in and started the difficult place and started declaring a dangerous message immediately without delay. And Jonah's lesson to us is, when God offers you a second chance, don't delay. Don't postpone. Don't put it off. Because remember what we just learned? Obey automatically. And that means obey immediately. Don't let the odds scare you. Don't delay. Next, don't compromise. Don't compromise. When we're afraid and we can't delay, there's another defense mechanism we often use, and that is to compromise. To do part of what God wants us to do, but not do all of what God wants us to do. To soften it, to weaken it a little bit, to reduce our danger. And you got to think Jonah must have thought about that. Okay, God wants me to shout, in 40 days Nineveh will be destroyed. Let's see what I can do to save my hide. I can speak a little more quietly so not everybody hears it instead of shouting. And I can drop the 40-day thing and say, well, sometime in the near future. I can drop the destroyed thing and say that Nineveh will be in danger. So I can walk around saying, well, sometime in the near future, Nineveh could be in danger and God might destroy you. But Jonah didn't compromise on the message. Jonah shouted, 40 days from now, Nineveh will be destroyed. So let me ask you, what fear is God calling you to face today? The fear that's keeping you from actively pursuing His rescue mission to the lost people in your life, where you live, where you work, where you shop, where you go to school. What is the fear that is causing you to compromise? And you say, well, prayer, care, share, and invite. God, I'll do the prayer. I'll pray for lost people every day. And I'll do the care. I'll show people acts of kindness for Jesus. But I'm not going to do the share my testimony or talk to them. I'm not going to do the invite. And you're trying to compromise with God on that. Or maybe it's compromise the message and you're saying, well, I'll talk to them about Jesus' love and forgiveness, but I'm not going to say anything about actual like sin or punishment or repentance. Let somebody else do that. What is the fear that is holding you up today? Maybe it looks like the odds are against you like Jonah and you've forgotten that God is with you. Where is it that you're trying to delay, hoping that somebody else does that? Somebody else will step in and do that. Somebody else will step in and speak to that person. You know God wants you to speak to that person about what He's doing in your life. You know He's asking you to say, you know, hey, would you mind if I told you about something really cool God did in my life this last week and share an answer to prayer or share a blessing God give you? And if they're interested, they'll pick up and you'll have a conversation. If not interested, it's okay. No harm, no foul. You did what you were supposed to. But you're not even saying that. You're not even naturally and normally. You'd share good things about a restaurant or a book you read, but you won't share about the good things that Jesus said in your life. What is the fear that's holding you back? Are you delaying? Are you compromising? Will you take that to the Lord today and say, Lord, help me overcome my fear? He's not ashamed of you. And He asks you not to be ashamed of Him. Measure your fear against your God. You'll never experience a second chance until you face your fear and step out in obedience and do what God is calling you to do. Regardless of your fear, regardless of the risk. Our final point, number five, is to carry the scars from where you are. Carry the scars from where you are. Remember where Jonah was at the beginning of our story? Chapter 2, verse 10, then the Lord ordered the fish to spit up Jonah on the beach. You don't spend 3 days in the gullet of a fish and come out alive without scars. You don't spend 3 days in the Gulf of Fish and come out without emotional scars from the trauma. I wonder for how many years Jonah would wake up in the middle of the night in a cold sweat terror from a recurring nightmare of being entombed alive in a beast. His heart pounding, his stomach in knots, his mouth ready to scream, his sheets soaked with his perspiration. I wonder when Jonah thought back on that storm at sea, did Jonah ever have the courage to get on a ship again in his life? Did Jonah flinch whenever a storm moved in? His emotional scars. You don't spend 3 days in the gullet of a fish without physical scars. And I wonder if when Jonah was shaving and he would stare in the mirror at the blotches on his face where his skin was bleached from the digestive juices. Did his bleached hair ever get back to its normal color? When Jonah talked to people about his God of love and judgment, did he point to some of the scars from that experience? You see, God gave Jonah a second chance, but Jonah had to live with the scars of his disobedience for the rest of his life, and those scars became part of who he was. The scars became part of the story that he told as a witness. And while God will always give you and I second chances, and He'll never run out of a second chance, He will not always erase the scars. And you and I may carry scars, physical scars, emotional scars, relational scars, for the rest of our lives, for our acts of disobedience and failure. But the scars become part of who we are. They become part of our story. They become part of our witness to other people. As we say to them, I am a very imperfect, needy person, a very deeply flawed person, but I found the love and the forgiveness and the grace that I need in the arms of Jesus Christ. So if you're as flawed and needy as I am, let me tell you about Jesus. And the scars become part of who we are, because we know that we are a people who are only alive by grace. And we can only forgive ourselves and live with ourselves by God's grace. And we can only pursue a mission greater than ourselves because of God's grace. And our calling, like Jonah's, is to get back up from our failure and start where we are, flawed and scarred, and step into our Nineveh with that story, the story of our failure, the story of our weakness, the story of our brokenness, to touch and transform our community by the power of Jesus Christ through lives of full devotion. And to say like Jonah, here I am, scarred but standing, flawed but forgiven, unworthy yet loved. Let me tell you about the Lord of the second chance. Will you bow with me in prayer? Lord, forgive us for the times when we have hidden from you rather than run to you to say, Daddy, we're so sorry we messed up again. Forgive us for the times when we beat ourselves up, when we wanted to be out of the game rather than get back up and get back to our assignment. Forgive us for the times when we have let the odds scare us, when we've tried to negotiate with you on what we will do or not do rather than obey you automatically. We want your heart, your passion for lost people that drives us through fear and drives us through failure to live the mission that you have given us today. And Lord, we would kneel before you now in all of our brokenness and all of our wounds and all of our failures, Lord. We would come to the altar and give them to you and receive your cleansing grace. Amen.